Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin. Ask an Attorney. If you have a legal question, the law office is open. Hey, we're open every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, just shortly after 8. And if you have a legal question, I'm here to help as many people as I can during my 52-minute straight run on Ask an Attorney here. So if you have a question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Hey, your question can be just about anything. It can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power attorneys, healthcare surrogates. It can be just about any area of law. And if you have a question, be more than glad to try to help you. Let's go to our first caller, Phil from Jacksonville, Orange Park area. Hey, good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Joe and staff. Y'all are five star. We all appreciate it. And I just want to thank you for all the good you do every day and your knowledge of legal law. And that's about it for now. I know about 923 people every Saturday morning, including myself, that listen to you in Clay County. So I guess I'm the spokesman today. But a lot of questions that people ask are answered for us. And it's unbelievable, your knowledge. And thank you again. You have a great day and a safe weekend.
Phil, thanks for calling. All right.
You're welcome, bud.
If you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law and you have a legal question, hey, we're here to help. Can be anything you want to know that I know, I'd be glad to share. If I don't know, hey, I'm fess up immediately and we'll find a resource for you. You have a toll-free number if you want to call the show at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Had an email question yesterday I thought was pretty interesting. The question was, so I'm going to create a living trust and I'm going to create a I'm going to appoint a trustee. I want to know what makes that trustee do what I tell him to do in the trust. How do I know he's going to do that job correctly? What are the consequences, or what are the what happens if he or she doesn't do what they're instructed to do in the trust, and who supervises them? That's a great question. But the answer is that it would be a criminal act if they do anything different than what you tell them to do in the trust. Their job is to be trustee, to collect assets, pay bills, do taxes, and distribute the estate. You spell all that out in the trust. You know, word for word, they have to do what you have instructed them to do. There's a distribution article in the trust that says, you know, pay my bills, do the taxes, if any, distribute the estate as follows. They can't deviate from that plan. They have to do exactly what that trust says. And anything else, and particularly anything self-benefiting, would be a crime. And anything else would be, they could hold them responsible for the what they didn't do. A beneficiary could hold them responsible for what they didn't get that they should have gotten. It'd be a crime. It'd be a lawsuit. Now, what happens if you have a will through probate, all supervised by the court, and the personal representative runs away with all your money somewhere? It's a trustee and a personal representative have the same job. The difference is the trustee is not being supervised by the court. And that's why people do trust, to get rid of that court supervision and the probate fees. So when you do a trust, you pick someone that you trust to be your trustee, an honorable, trustworthy, responsible person to be your trustee, and that person has the duty to do what the trust says and can be liable if they don't. So that's the answer to that question. Some people, what they do in choosing a trustee is to choose two people to be co-trustees, so they become a check and balance on themselves. Hey, if you have a legal question, it's Saturday morning at 807 in the morning, and the law office is open. If you have a legal question, I'm more than glad to help you. We're broadcasting today, by the way, on Facebook Live. And if you have Facebook, you can go to Facebook Live, and you should be able to catch our show here. If not, we post it, we share it after the show on the site. And if you'd like for me to share it to you and you're on Facebook, you can just send me either a Facebook message or an email, and I'd be glad to send it to you. If you have a legal question right now, it's 877 is the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. And your question can be about anything. It can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power attorneys, healthcare surrogates, living wills. Can be about family law. Can be about just about any area of law that you have. And I am more than glad to try to help you in any way that I can. And all you have to do is to dial that number, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. If you would like to join me on Facebook or LinkedIn or one of the social media outlets, we also share our programs on YouTube. We have multiple ways to connect with you if you'd like to be involved in any of that on either Facebook or LinkedIn particularly. I'd be more than glad to help you. Let's go to Ron in Tampa.
Hey, brother.
Hey, how are you?
First time I ever heard you. Hey, my mother-in-law died a while back, left a house to my wife and her brother. Her brother has an alcohol problem. It is, they're co-owners. So he lives in the house and has a life, let's say, whatever you call it. Yeah. So he's been collecting things from the county against. So he has a lien now against the house, way up to like $180,000. Well, the house is not worth much, but it's in disrepair. But he never told anybody about it. Anyhow, so now we finally get a thing. We got nothing. We finally get a letter from the county from him. And so now my wife don't know what to do, for heaven's sake. We just got it Friday, and so we're sort of in a mess.
All right, so what's your question here?
How am I going to get out of that? You know, we had no idea that the house was in such disrepair. I went over the other day to help him with something, and said, good grief. And then he said he had this letter. So we don't want to be liable. We would just give him the place. But is there an idea how we can back out of this thing?
All right,
you got a thought?
Yeah, so somebody came into the studio while you were talking there, and I kind of lost track of the question. So there's an inheritance.
Yes.
And you received a house.
Yeah, my wife and my brother-in-law. And so he has a problem. He has an alcohol problem. So now we've gotten a citation from the county about the disrepair of the house, unbeknownst to us. And so it is mounted up now. And so finally he gave me a thing the other day, and it says $180,000 fines against this house, which is not worth, you know. But anyhow...
Well, has the house been... Okay, so the house is has no equity in it.
No, not really, no.
And is the house still in the estate?
Well, yeah, it's in my wife and my brother-in-law's name, but my wife just wants to take her name off and let him have it.
Okay, but it's been transferred.
Yes, years ago.
Oh, years ago from the estate.
Yes.
Well, if she's the owner, is he willing to accept the house?
Yeah, I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is. But we're wondering if we would be liable, you know, after with all this against us, for heaven's sake.
Well, you still possibly could be liable because your name is on there as the owner currently.
Yeah. But if she takes her name off,
that's no guarantee.
Yeah.
And I don't know why he would accept that.
Well, it'd just be a house.
There's $180,000 worth of fines?
Yes. Out of nowhere. You know, of course, we had no idea.
All right, well...
Have you ever...
Yeah, so I think since she's the owner, I don't think she can... So she can do a deed to get rid of it. I mean, but I'm not sure she loses all the liability that's associated with it by doing the deed.
Yeah. Well, okay.
All right. Yeah, so that's probably be good to do a deed, so you wouldn't be the owner. But I'm not sure.
Right.
I'm not sure that you can walk away from the debt if someone were to file a lawsuit. What kind of lien is it? Is it from the state and county?
It's from the county, you know, for not upgrading. You know, we did some work on it 3 years ago. I went in and he had a problem, and so I thought I took care of it, you know.
I'd have someone negotiate with the county to see if that could be reduced.
Right. I'm sure it... I bought places before that had those against it, and they just you know, did away with it. But
I'd have an attorney look at it to see if the fine can be reduced or satisfied.
Sure enough.
Less. Okay.
All right.
Thank you. All right.
Bye.
All right. Let's go to Let's go to Sarasota. Is it Gaza? Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, what's your first name?
Geza.
All right. What can we do for you?
I'm a trustee for a land trust, and the property is owned by a private individual. And there was a tenant in the property, and they had supposed to be paying the association dues. They stopped paying the dues. And the association went out and served the paperwork to a wrong address.
Mm-hmm.
And now there is a legal proceedings, you know, for the $1,500 law firm bill and other association dues. So do I have any remedies as far as they served the wrong address, since the public record shows one address, but they served a different address?
Well, you could contest it and show that it wasn't served properly or never received service. Ask for possibly a rehearing.
That's what I thought. Well, we do have a scheduled hearing, but it's via Zoom now.
Yeah.
So, I could just request that they haven't served the right address, and will they remove the attorney fees, or will they just?
It's up to the judge. Hey, Joe, I cut it off, so y'all can take the phone in there if you want to play with it. All right. All right, so we momentarily suspended Facebook Live, so if you, we'll let you know if it gets connected back on here very soon. All right, so, so if you're going to have a hearing, you would just tell the judge, here's the proof of, you know, they say the papers were served, but they served them to the wrong address. And the correct address should have been so-and-so, and discuss that with the judge to see if you can get a rehearing on the matter.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds great. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. You have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. If you have a legal question, hey, if you'd like our free estate planning poster sheet, it's a large double-sided sheet where you can learn a lot about estate planning. There are 5 articles and charts and diagrams and so forth. And if you would like that, it's absolutely free. We'd love to mail it to you. You can get it 1 of 3 ways. You can call our toll-free office number, which is 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe at attypip.com. You can text me at 727 727-667-3967. That's 727-667-3967. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. It's a live show. It's about 8:17 in the morning. Phone lines are open. And again, the toll-free number is 877-943-9673. Let's go to Ron in Lakewood Ranch.
Hi, Joe. How you doing?
Good, and you?
Good, good. Two-part question. When you have an estate and you put it into a trust, but before you put that into the trust, you had certain insurance policies that would protect you in the case of lawsuits and obviously house and what have you. Once you put it into a trust, do you have to then recertify that the coverage is now in the trust and not you as an individual? And if you do, fine. If you don't, that's one thing. But let's assume that worst thing happens and it's in a trust, and you do have the insurance transferred to the trust, and you know you pass on, and now things go forward. Does that insurance apply for the trust, and does it have to be maintained by the trust?
All right. Well, here's how we do this. Here's how I do this as an attorney preparing trust. When a client comes in and does a living trust and we do a transfer of, say, their home or other real estate to the trust, we do a quitclaim deed. The trust and the person are the same entity. It's not a different entity, so it's the same.
Right.
So that deed is usually not recorded on the public records until they die. So when the person that created the trust died, their successor trustee comes in. We file the will with the court at that time because wills get filed upon death, but we also record the quitclaim deed at that time. So as far as anybody in the world knows that's looking on public records, the owner is still you, the individual who created the trust. So then you don't have to, because it's you on the public records, and that deed's not going to be recorded till death, then the insurance and everything just stays the same in just your name.
Okay, but that's fine. I get that. But once a death has occurred, do you need to continue that insurance? And if so, does the trustee and the trust continue the insurance?
Well, upon your death, then the property is transferred out of the trust to the beneficiaries, and then it's the beneficiaries' concern to get it properly insured.
Okay, so you only have to more than the property, though, you have a wraparound policy in case of lawsuits. If you have a trust going forward and it's creating money and it goes to various places, do you need to protect the trust against possible lawsuits from the outside against the trust? For what reason, but whatever the reason might be.
All right, so let's say there's a six-month gap between the time the person dies and the time the property is transferred, and during that six-month gap something happens that causes a lawsuit concerning the property. Is that your question, basically?
Yeah.
So I think the answer there would be the trustee's job to contact the insurance company and tell them that the person who created the trust died and now their property is in the trust, and to try to get something in writing they're going to continue the service or the insurance on the property during the time before it's transferred.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, it's just something to think about because I think, you know, in a world of litigious lawsuits all the time, you want to make sure that you want to protect yourself. You've worked all your life for assets, and then you don't want it to go out the window because of not thinking about that.
Yeah, well, the person who died, of course...
I know they're not going to worry about it.
Well, the person who died is not going to do something... Of course, they're dead to get sued. I mean, they're not going to have a car accident or some other liability issue. But, you know, on a real estate property, there could be a slip and fall on the property or a roof cave-in or some other thing. So you want to make sure that the insurance is still going to be intact on the property itself. Now, if you, the trustee, commit... you have a car accident, then you, the trustee, get served individually, and the trust itself wouldn't be liable for a trustee's car accident or, you know, malpractice of some type.
Right, right. So mostly it's focused on, you know, the real estate part of it, but so if it's a living trust and the trust is creating money and the money's going to various charities, let's just say, wherever they are, that's a living entity. It's going forward. Do you really need insurance against anything that's, even though there's no property involved, there's just a money-making machine coming from various sources, maybe bank accounts, maybe stock, what have you. Can that be sued? And if so, would you need to insure that?
Well, you could be bonded. You could be insured. The thing to do would be possibly to liquidate as quickly as you could, and that's the benefit of a trust, of this quick liquidation, quick estate closing. Like, for example, if I'm a trustee of a trust and there's lots of stocks in the trust, I usually try to liquidate those right away. I don't want to be responsible for market moves up and down.
Right.
So they can't really question me for the quick liquidation of stock. And the same thing on real estate. I try to list it right away and get it sold right away and get it out of the estate. So just to limit the liability moving forward or the responsibility.
So basically what you're saying is that you want to dissolve all of the assets in the trust as quickly as possible.
Yeah, well, one of the big benefits of a trust is you can do that. You don't have court involvement that's kind of slowing things down.
Right. So. Yeah, right. But by doing so, you have no money left to go forward into, you know, providing what you want the estate to go forward. In other words, if you want it to continue and it has to make money to continue to go to various charities, that's
because the person who created the trust created it that way.
Yeah. Again, that's true, and I understand that. But again, does that have to be protected is all I'm saying, that money, in an insurance policy?
It doesn't have to be, but it's the minute the person died who created the trust, the money vests to the beneficiaries. Even though it's not distributed, it vests. So the trust could be liable for back taxes and things like that. So yeah, you can be bonded, and you can be bonded for lawsuits and things like that, or irresponsibility acts. And the money can be invested under FDIC rules or stock brokerage rules, SPIC, for protection. You know, if the banks collapse or anything.
Right.
All right. All right, Ron, I think we've killed that subject. But
we did. Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. And I think we don't need to do Facebook Live today. So, yeah, that's all right. All right, so if you have a legal question, give us a call, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. If you have a legal question, we'd be more than glad to try to help you. And let's go to Ray in St. Petersburg. Hey, Ray.
Good morning, Joe. I've got a question regarding the stimulus checks that were given out.
Hey, do you know, before you ask me that, you won't believe, we got a check this week made out to the estate of, you know, John Doe. I'm making John Doe.
Oh, that's my name.
Oh, John Doe? Yeah. No, the stimulus check says the estate of. Now, can you believe the government will send out checks to estates? I mean, the person's dead. That means they're dead. I couldn't believe it. We had to send it back, of course. But I wonder how many checks the government has sent out to the estate of, you know, deceased people. Crazy. Okay, what's your question?
Oh, my question is this. I have an account with Wells Fargo, and they took my check and they gave it to my ex-wife because of child support. They said anything, if you owe over $150, they're going to take those checks. Anyways, my question is my I live here in Florida. My ex-wife lives in San Francisco area. Wells Fargo is home base is, well, is San Francisco. Would I be better off getting a Florida bank so they would not be have direct access? You know, it's my understanding Governor Newsom passed a law in California where he would be able to confiscate the stimulus checks from people who owed more than $150 in back child support. So him being the governor of California and Wells Fargo being in California, that just gives them direct access. Maybe having a Florida bank, he wouldn't have been able to do that.
There are rules about being able to collect child support.
Right.
So do you not want to pay the child support?
Oh, no, I pay child support every month. But the rule is, I only owed probably $150.
And how
they
much
took $1,200.
Well,
my issue with the bank was, okay, no problem. The kid gets the bank, but I called the bank probably about 10 times, and then just got the runaround from Wells Fargo, and that's what upset me.
Yeah. Why don't you call your local Wells Fargo? Do you have an account at Wells Fargo? Why don't you call and go sit down and make an appointment to go inside the bank?
Oh, I tried all that, and then they just give you the runaround.
They won't give you an appointment?
Well, they would, and it just got to the point where you already took it. I'm just going to change banks.
Well, you can definitely change banks and have a local bank. But if your wife puts a child support claim into that bank, the child support rules are, I mean, the spouse can get to back refund, IRS checks, government checks. The government has made it easy for a spouse that says that she's not getting child support to be able to go and collect it. Do you have a child support payments set up automatically?
Yes.
And they went in and got extra money?
Right.
That wasn't owed.
Right.
I would go plant myself inside Wells Fargo and make them explain to you how they're not responsible for giving money that wasn't due and show you the proof of why they did that.
Well, the interesting part is I did a little bit of investigating on my own. I looked up under, Governor Newsom, the governor of California, he passed a law with his pen. It's not a national law. It's a law that he just passed in California. And with Wells Fargo being located in San Francisco, that, you know, they were, under his law. So whereas if I had a Florida bank or a Florida credit union, maybe that would have been swept up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So. Anyway, right. It's a done deal. I just wanted to see what you thought about it.
If child support is owed, they have set up systems to where the spouse that it's owed to can put claims in on banks or governments and so forth and swipe the money away. But if it's not owed, that's a different question.
Yeah, and my question is, you know, once they take it, good luck getting it back. And it just seems that
some of these
governors have a nice access into your account, you know.
Yeah, but you have a Florida account, and their Wells Fargo's all over the place in Florida, so they obviously have a business location in Florida. So you can go to small claims court against Wells Fargo. Probably,
yeah.
If you want to push the thing a little bit, you could probably. since they're licensed to do business in Florida, you could probably go to small claims court in Florida.
Huh. Well, maybe some of your listeners might realize that maybe doing business with a bank from California here in Florida is not such a good idea. Thank you very much, Joe. I appreciate
you. All right. Thank you.
And maybe I'll get off the phone if you had something more to say. That'd be great.
Bye. All right. All right. Let's go to Gwen in Lakeland. Hey, Gwen.
Hey. This is not your kind of question, probably, but let me ask anyway. I've been with the same homeowners insurance company for 28 years, or this is my 28th year, and I've had a dog all that time, three different dogs at this point, of course. And this last dog that I've got is an Australian Shepherd, and I got a letter from them this year stating that, or actually end of last year, maybe. No, I guess it was this year, that they were no longer going to be able to insure me because of my dog's history of biting. And this is what happened. I had a claim back in March of last year, or June, sometime around there. The adjuster came out, and when he got ready to leave, I said, well, let me get my hold of my dog before you get leave, because she might bite you. And so I put a leash on her and put her on the lead, and he went out the door. I said, okay, you can go leave. So he went out the door, and I let her off leash, and she goes to the window barking and, you know, not being friendly. And I told him prior to that, I'm sorry, that she might bite you. I said, my neighbor across the street came over one time, and he's been over many times and not had a problem. But this one day, he opened the door and stood at the door for a second and then talked some more. And then he opened the door wider, and when he did, she bit him on the leg and put a puncture hole through his jeans. He told me about that later, but he didn't do anything about it, okay? And so that's the reason they're dropping me, supposedly, is because of my dog bite history, quote-unquote. And there's no record of dog bite history. My dog is going to be 12 in November, and she goes to dog shows all the time, so she's around all kinds of dogs, all kinds of people. She's never even act like she's going to. Matter of fact, she's friendly. She didn't even act like she's going to bite anybody or anything. So is there anything I can do? Because the reason I ask that is I've looked at other insurance companies, and they're all wanting me to do a four-point inspection to my house, which my house was built in 54 or 55, and I still have fuses for instead of breakers. I guess the plumbing system is galvanized. I don't know. And they look at your electric, your water heater, and your air conditioning and your plumbing. And all of those, my air conditioning I put in brand new when I bought the house, so it's 26, 27 years old. And the water heater, I'm not sure the date of it, but they supposedly can find out by the mop number or something. Is there anything I could do and still keep the insurance without having to rectify, you know, put all this money into changing all these things in my house in order to get insurance?
No, I think the insurance company has the right to. It's a contract, so the contract is up, and they don't have to renew it, basically. So you can't make them insure you. I basically had the same. I mean, I didn't have a dog situation like you did, but I had the same situation where insurance company seems like every other year or so, insurance companies in Florida decide they don't want to do business in Florida or whatever the reason is. So then you have to change insurance companies, and I had to do the 4-point inspection. And everything. You know, I've got an old roof on my house, so it really wasn't. It's supposed to last a few more years, but they make issues out of all kinds of things, and they even made issues out of a few things that weren't even true, so then you have to prove they're not true. But I think the answer to your question is no, you can't make them insure you.
How can I go about getting insurance? I mean,
well, you have to
just find
to
do all the.
Yep. you just have to keep shopping. I mean, you have to keep...
I mean, I even asked them, I said, is there a way to just, delete my dog from the policy if she were to bite anybody or something so you would not be responsible? And they said, well, we tried that and said it won't hold up in court, so we don't do that.
Yeah. No, I don't think you can make them insure you. And you, I guess you're sorry now you even mentioned the dog to the incident, yeah.
Yeah, but, I didn't even think. I just speak off the top of my head most of the time, so that's part of my problem. But.
That's why attorneys tell clients, and of course this doesn't apply to a court situation, just answer yes or no. Don't volunteer any extra information.
Yeah, well, that's what my broker told me to do about, when I'm looking for insurance at this point, but then I'm finding out that they're, because of the age of my house, they're all wanting a 4-point inspection. And, you have to pay for that.
Yep.
And then if it doesn't pass, then you've got to upgrade these things so that it will pass.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they don't have to insure you, so you're going to have to keep shopping, I guess.
I mean, but you don't know if the state insurance would have to insure me or they'd have to do the 4-point as well.
Your broker would be better served to answer that question for you.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to Vincent in Tampa.
Good morning. Thanks.
Hey, Vincent.
Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Okay. So I got a Samsung refrigerator. It's like a $2,800 refrigerator. I got it from one of those big box stores.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure if I can name the store that I got it from.
It wouldn't matter, so you don't need to.
Okay. Anyway, I got it from Lowe's. But I got the extended warranty for 5 years. The refrigerator part clunked out at about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I've been calling them. I've called them like 16 times. They've sent 4 texts to check it out. They fixed the refrigerator port. 2 days later, the freezer goes out. I've been calling them, and I've been cordial with them on the phone. I don't go off my rockers. But they said that they were going to send a text 3 times. One time I waited from 8 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, no show. 2 other times, so I waited like 16 hours and I called them. I need to speak to a supervisor because nothing's being done. They won't let me talk to a supervisor. So at this point, after 16 calls and waiting on the phone, probably 10 hours by this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what to do. I want to take them to small claims court, but I don't know. What can I do at this point?
Well, small claims court, is all of this documented in writing?
Yes.
Or is everything verbal?
I have emails from them telling me that they're sending a text.
I would send a certified letter.
The phone calls.
I would send a certified letter documenting all of your phone calls if you have that documentation and the result, and you still have a product that is not satisfactory, and you hereby demand complete replacement of the product based on your history that you can provide in writing of all the circumstances, and tell them if they don't comply with your to come out immediately and fix it, one last chance to fix it, or otherwise you're going to deem the product, you're going to follow up the lawsuit in small claims court. How much did the whole thing cost, the refrigerator cost?
$2,800.
Yeah. So now you can, so that's under the amount you can sue in small claims court. I just file a lawsuit for a complete replacement of the product and list your history of all the problems and their non-response and not fixing it and just go for a new product to a total replacement.
Okay. Right. Okay.
So you can do that in small claims court, probably. And a lot of times I'll tell people to go to small claims court and get the forms. They'll give you the forms to file. Fill them out and then send in writing a certified letter that this is what you're going to file in court on such and such date. If they don't either replace the product or come out in one last chance to totally fix the product. And show them you're serious by going down to small claims court and get the forms, basically.
Okay. I live in Hillsborough County. Would that be like...
Yeah, there's a small claims court in downtown Tampa.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the advice.
All right. Thank you. All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. If you have a legal question, all you have to do is to call the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. You have about 7-8 minutes left in the show. We'd love to talk to you if we can possibly help you in any way. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. Toll-free number for you to call the show in the remaining moments is 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. If you'd like our free estate planning poster sheet, I'd love to mail it to you. And you can get it one of three ways. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Joe at attypip.com. You can text me at 727-667-3967. Let's go to Joanna in Sarasota.
Morning.
Good morning.
I want to tell you what a patient man I think you are.
Well, thank you.
I have a question. I'm a senior citizen now. I own a fairly nice condominium in Sarasota, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And my concern is this. If I became sort of disabled and ran out of money and they could, you know, attach my assets to pay for the care...
Yep.
I'm trying to remove my condominium from that. In other words, there's a clawback thing for 5 years, is there?
Don't have to worry about your condo. Your condo homestead is a protected asset in Florida.
Right.
So no creditor can file medical claims, nursing home claims, lawsuit claims against it and force the sale of the homestead in Florida.
So in other words, if that story happened, my son could still get my condominium.
Yeah, you could be really sick going into a nursing home for years. Homestead doesn't even count as an asset. That would disqualify you for Medicaid. At the end of the day, the condo would transfer to your home, to your son, free and clear of any
encumbrances.
Any claims. Yes, ma'am.
Right. Now, tell me again, the closest you come to Sarasota is Sun City, isn't it?
Yeah, we have an office in Lakewood Branch. I have another attorney, Dennis Moses, covers that. And people that would prefer to see me come to the Sun City Center office.
Okay. Can you give me the number of that office? Hello?
The phone number, just call the toll-free number, 1-800-226-3529.
Mm-hmm.
Go to extension 200.
Right.
And the person that answers the phone will run my calendar and make the appointment. And a lot of times of what I'm doing now for first appointments, if the client wants to, particularly, is to do a phone interview.
Fine. Do you ever do the doctors are doing it now. What do they call it? FaceTime thing?
Yeah, a little Zoom or whatever.
Well, I don't know about the Zoom.
But anyway, the first time we can do it that way if you want, but most of them are not... Not any video with it. It's not really necessary. I mean, but eventually here's what normally happens. You call and make an appointment if you want, and we do a phone appointment. I discuss with you what you want, ask a bunch of questions, and send you a draft.
Mm-hmm.
And then we meet after you receive the drug. We might have another phone conversation, but then we meet in person, and I go over everything with you in person, and we get it witness signed and notarized.
Here's one more small question.
Yeah.
I have a few stocks I'd like my grandson to receive. He's only 15 now.
Mm-hmm. They can be held. Yeah, they can be held in a trust until whatever age you want them distributed.
Okay, so, I mean, it's not a lot. It's not a big estate, but I would like him to have them.
Yeah, no, that's, people do that all the time.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, well, looking forward to talking to you. All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, let's go to Mo in Jacksonville.
Hey, Mr. Pippin.
I guess you, hey, Mo, what do you know?
What do you want to know?
I guess you said, what do you want to know?
I've got a crazy old college buddy that wants a Viking funeral when he dies. Hopefully not for a long time. But
they're gonna put him on a ship and push the ship out and light fire on it when it gets to a certain...
Right. Said he's going to figure all that out, the amount of balsa wood and the amount of fuel. How long will we go to prison if we actually do this for him?
Well,
is there any legal way to do this?
You know what I would do? Where does he live?
He's actually down in Sarasota right now.
You know what I would do if I were, the way I would probably approach that is to go to a local funeral home. I mean, they do all kind of, I'm not sure they would do this one, but they do all kind of unusual funerals. I mean, you can have a hot air balloon go up with your ashes and drop
right.
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of ways to do these funerals. I don't know, some of the funeral homes that go 3 miles out or wherever the distance is, you know, and do this or that. I would go to a funeral home and lay it out for them and see if they can figure out a way to come close to what he wants to do and put the burden of the legal part of it on the funeral home who's in the business for... Now, a lot of them are advertising unusual funerals, you know, of doing something special like that. And creating scenes, you know, going with it and... People who like to fish a little bit, you come into the funeral room where the body is, and it's a very nautical thing going on, you know, in the room. I would go to a funeral home and spell it out and see what they want to do. I wouldn't take any chances of you trying to do something like that yourself, you know. And there are rules on how to dispose of bodies too that you have to closely follow.
Yeah, that was my question.
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
You died. How am I going to get your body to go put you on a boat, set you on fire, and push you out in the ocean?
Yeah, so most Vikings are up in Minnesota, right? So maybe they have special rules in Minnesota. All right,
Mo,
I gotta go. Hey, Mo, I got to go. So.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right, thanks. Bye. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We're here every week. Thank you for listening. If you would like to have our free estate planning poster sheet, again, the toll-free office number for either an appointment or the estate planning sheet or just to talk to me, the toll-free number is 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. If you'd like to email me, it's simply Joe, J-O-E, @attypip.com. And by the way, our website is www.attypip.com. attypip.com. If you'd like to text me, hey, even if you'd like to call me on my way home today, wait till about 9 o'clock or so. Text number 727. Text or call me if you want to call me on my drive home. Love to talk to you at 727. 667-3967. And Mike, you can call me. Mike's on hold here. Mike and Roger, you can call me on my phone number, 727-667-3967. You have a great weekend. So long.